Good morning. Welcome to you all, new and not so new. Tea and coffee will be served in the Mayo Hall after this service, which will be led by Phil Crump. Welcome, Phil. It's good to see you. Then we have our 11:30 service, and the reflective service is here at 6:30 this evening. Pastoral news. Olive Webb has recently come out of hospital but remains very unwell. Pat Brooks has had a fall and is tired and is resting at home. Please remember Stuart Chandler in your prayers too. The Kingston 3A Orchestra are giving a short informal concert on Wednesday morning at 11:30 here in the church. It's free, though there will be a retiring collection in aid of our community hub. They will be playing pieces by Gilbert and Sullivan, Debussy, and the highlight will be Vivaldi's double piano cello concerto, and Sojin Kim will be one of the soloists. Where are you? Please stand. Sojin. No? She's not here. Okay. Thank you. Anyway, she's a member. On Saturday, next Saturday, the 27th of June, Pat and Martin Foster are opening their garden for visitors. Please find the details here. And I know Pat and Martin are here, and it'd be really helpful if you could stand, please, so people know who you are. Thank you. And thank you for welcoming people to your garden. I have a message from Margaret Goulding, and I won't make her stand. Next Sunday, the 28th, we will be holding a community tea in the foyer in the Mayo Hall at 3 o'clock. If you are able to help by preparing a loaf of sandwiches or making some cakes, please speak to Margaret today. Perhaps you should raise her hand. Raise your hand, Margaret, please. Thank you. Sorry? That's next Sunday, yes, at 3 o'clock. Lovely, thank you. And finally, I'd like to say thank you to John Cox for taking care of our sound system today. Thank you, John.
Good morning. Welcoming God in our bustle and busyness, we pause to worship you, to be held in your eternal peace. I can hear a buzz. Help us to get rid of all that stands between us and you. Let us feel your warm kiss of forgiveness. Let us know the gentle embrace of acceptance. In the silence of now, make us new. We start our worship with hymn number 489, Be Thou My Vision, 489.
Thank you.
So now let us have a time of prayer. We rise in the morning. When the sun shines, life is good. Praise the Creator. God gives us the good things of life. When the rain comes, the crops grow. All around are friends to help us. Things to see, new things to learn. Praise the Creator. God gives us the good things of life. God's earth provides our shelter, our clothing, and books, and all that we enjoy. We know that there will be work and rest, and games and talking and singing. Praise the Creator. God gives us the good things of life. Help us today, loving God, to live and give good lives to you. We come to declare your goodness, to celebrate again the awesomeness of your love and the wonder of your grace. You show us mercy, accepting our feeble faith and hesitant discipleship, understanding our weaknesses. We offer so little, and yet you give us so much. Your grace defies expression. Forgive us those times when we don't want to hear, or when we just don't listen. We claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, and there is so much that draws us to him. But when his message is too demanding, when he asks for us what we would rather not face, when his words make us feel uncomfortable, we try to resist, closing our ears and pushing him away. Help us open our eyes to him. Forgive us when we fail to appreciate all that we have been given. More concerned perhaps with what we haven't got than what we have. Your goodness is beyond measure. Assure us once more of your mercy and forgiveness. Set us once more upon your way. And help us to follow your will, so that we may truly be your people and you may truly be our God. Your goodness is beyond measure. May we gratefully respond. In the name of Jesus, amen. And shall we say the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. I have here a postcard. It happens to be of Kingston. I have here a 2p piece. Do you think I can balance a 2p piece on the edge of a postcard? Do you think so? Well, the trick is to bend the card. Let's see if I can do this. I practiced this at home. I balance it on the edge, but of course it's not straight, is it? Anyone can do that. Ah. We'll come on to the theme of the thing later on. I'll just try. I'll do it once more for luck. Getting better every time. Oops. No, perhaps we sort of succeed it once out of three. That's not too bad. The reason I didn't do it is I was shaking just slightly. I don't know if you noticed. And that's the theme of today, because Jesus says, don't be afraid. In one of the Gospels, he says, I give you a peace not as the world gives. So don't be afraid. I'm always with you. So that just introduces the theme for today. And let us now sing again hymn number 413, 413. And now for our readings today. We have the privilege of having Ken giving us both readings. First one is from one of Paul's letters to the Corinthians.
The first reading comes from St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. In our work together with God, then, we beg you who have received God's grace not to let it be wasted. Hear what God says. When the time came for me to show you favor, I heard you. When the day arrived for me to save you, I helped you. Listen, this is the hour to receive God's favor. Today is the day to be saved. We do not want anyone to find fault with our work, so we try not to put obstacles in anyone's way. Instead, in everything we do, we show that we are God's servants by patiently enduring troubles, hardships, and difficulties. We have been beaten, imprisoned, and mobbed. We have been overworked, and we have gone without sleep or food. By our purity, knowledge, patience and kindness, we have shown ourselves to be God's servants by the Holy Spirit, by our own true love, by our message of truth, and by the power of God. We have righteousness as our weapon, both to attack and to defend ourselves. We are honored and disgraced. We are insulted and praised. We are treated as liars, yet we speak the truth. As unknown, yet we are known by all. As though we were dead, but as you see, we live on. Although punished, we are not killed. Although saddened, we are always glad. We seem poor, but we make many people rich. We seem to have nothing, yet we really possess everything. Dear friends in Corinth, we have spoken frankly to you. We have opened our hearts wide. It is not we who have closed our hearts to you. It is you who have closed your hearts to us. I speak now as though you were my children. Show us the same feelings that we have for you. Open your hearts wide.
Thank you, Ken. And then the next one from the Gospel, a well-known reading from Mark chapter 4, where Jesus sleeps through a storm.
This is chapter 4, beginning to read at verse 35. On the evening of that same day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they left the crowd. The disciples got into the boat in which Jesus was already sitting, and they took him with them. Other boats were there too. Suddenly a strong wind blew up, and the waves began to spill over into the boat, so that it was about to fill with water. Jesus was in the back of the boat, sleeping with his head on a pillow. The disciples woke him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" Jesus stood up and commanded the wind, "Be quiet." And he said to the waves, "Be still." The wind died down, and there was a great calm. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you frightened? Have you still no faith?" But they were terribly afraid and said to one another, "Who is this man? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Thank you, Ken. Let us sing again hymn number 373. A daughter and her father were out together when she received a text from her mum saying, "What do you want from life?" A surprising text to get from your mum. Has she been reading a thought for the day or something? And she and her father, they were out at the cafe having coffee in New Malden, had a very deep and engaging discussion on the subject. "What do you want from life?" The girl was 18, looking forward to uni. She had all these ideas about the future. Maybe she'll get married, have children. She'd had a happy life herself. Her father started to think back on what he'd already had in life, and they had this deep discussion for about a quarter of an hour or something. It was the first time the father and daughter had really discussed anything in depth. Maybe we should ask ourselves the same question. What do we want from life? Then there was a follow-up text from the mother. "Sorry about the typing mistake. Message should have read, what do you want from Lidl's?" The surprising text from the girl's mother made her and her father think. Maybe we need to stop and think from time to time. As a church, we are asked to think, to listen for God's word in the sermon, for example. Jesus calmed the wind and the waves. Did he need to do something so surprising to cause them to think? To stop them in their tracks, pull them up short? Possibly Jesus felt he needed to perform miracles at times to convince his followers by demonstrating his supernatural side, that he is God's son. The Sea of Galilee is generally calm and tranquil. On three visits with groups from this church, I have observed it always to be so. The water amazingly smooth and calm. Some of you here will remember. The Sea of Galilee is 650 feet below sea level, 150 foot deep, and surrounded by tablelands beyond which the great mountains rise. The rivers have cut deep ravines through the tablelands down into the sea. And these ravines act like great funnels to draw down the cold winds from the mountains, making it subject to very sudden windstorms with very little warning, and with extremely high waves for such a relatively small sea, as much as 20 feet high. It would be just such a storm that struck the boat that Jesus was sleeping in. The disciples would have good reason to be fearful. Or had they? How much had they realized the specialness of Jesus? Here is Jesus sleeping, trusting them, some of them being experienced fishermen. Jesus is apparently unconcerned. I wonder whether Jesus really was asleep, or was he testing them and using the wild storm to make a point? Who knows? They are fearing they're all going to drown, so they wake Jesus. "Teacher, don't you care that we are about to die?" And Jesus then does the unthinkable, the impossible. He shouts to the wind and the waves, and amazingly, the storm subsides. The wind dies down. The heaving waters calm. It can be really scary in a real storm. I know I always flinch when we have a thunder and lightning very close. I'm sure we've already all been momentarily frightened by such a storm. Jesus calmed the storm. He also calms our storms when we turn to him for help. We have reactions, fight or flight. These are responses programmed into us, part of our DNA. A rabbit freezes in the headlights. A bird instantly flies off at the slightest suspicious movement. Eddie Askew wrote the following. "It was cold down at the nature reserve. The sky was steel grey, clouds torn by an almost gale-force wind. It ripped through the trees, scattering the last autumn leaves. The water was grey and ruffled. A great armada of Canada geese was in the water, together with dozens of other birds. They all floated there, facing into the storm. Their environment had suddenly become hostile, threatening. They didn't protest or run for cover. They didn't use up precious energy flying into it or fighting it. Eddie says that we can learn from the birds, that they tell us that we achieve little by worrying, that just maybe we should face the storm and keep position, not scream or shout, not protest and ask, what have I done to deserve this? But just hold on to faith and wait for the wind to blow itself out. He then glibly says, it may take time, but it works, and I don't remember ever seeing a Canada goose with acute depression. Well, I've probably said this here before, but 95% of what we worry about never actually happens. 95% of what we worry about never actually happens. Situations change or never happen the way that we imagine. Worry affects our response, like the rabbit in the headlights. It may even prove to be a self-fulfilling prophecy. He who hesitates is lost. Certainly a high jumper or long jumper is less likely to achieve their required height or distance if they worry or doubt they can do it. Jesus says to his disciples in the boat, why are you frightened? Have you still no faith? So we are to place our worries and concerns in God's hands and feel confident that with the strength he gives, we will be able to cope with whatever. Maybe God will send us help in some form or other, or with his Spirit prompt us as to what to do about it. Trusting in God takes faith. As Jesus says, why are you frightened? Have you still no faith? But easier said than done to actually put this maxim into practice. If we can develop and strengthen our faith, then we can find strength in adversity, knowing that God is with us. As a mental health social worker, now retired as you can guess, there were times when I had to visit someone who was in a disturbed state of mind. Sometimes I was accompanied by a couple of doctors. It was important for me to pray before I entered the house or flat. I would be aware of my own safety and make sure I was sitting near to the door rather than the client being nearest to the exit, a sensible precaution. Praying brought a confidence that somehow it would turn out all right, so I became calm. What I was initially worried about, or at least anxious about, some terrible assault or tremendous outburst by the person, never happened in 30 years. By being relaxed, sitting down and talking quietly and hopefully in a friendly manner, this would help the person feel not so threatened, and they would be more likely to talk about how they were feeling and what was happening. Actually, there was one incident when a strongly built man in an agitated state, suffering schizophrenia, did suddenly grab me around the neck and push me sharply against the wall. A bit of a bang on my head, but not unduly hard, thank the Lord. An elderly health visitor was watching from across the room. I remained still, praying and thinking, would I have to knee him in a sensitive spot to escape? Then he suddenly let go and walked away. As you can imagine, we left pretty promptly, and I had the police with me when I later returned with a doctor to assess further. Fear can freeze you. The confidence that God is with you releases you, can calm you. Of course, things will still be hard, but you come through it, and you are strengthened as a result of your experience. So we should not be excessively worried or upset. God is here with us. He's with each one of us individually, attuned to our worries and challenges. I started off with, what do you want from life? Not want from littles. A life without worry would be an impossibility. But a life with God as our support to help us manage our worries is good. Trusting God to sustain us helps bring about that inner peace which Jesus spoke of. It is my own peace that I give you. I do not give it as the world does. Do not be worried or upset. Do not be afraid. Trusting Jesus sustains us through all trials and difficulties. Trust has to build. The longer and closer a relationship with someone, then the greater you will trust them. If they prove themselves trustworthy. The longer and closer our relationship with Jesus, then the greater can be our trust in him. So let us achieve what we most want from life, secure in our trust in God and without undue worry. As Jesus said, "Why are you frightened? Have you still no faith?" Amen. Let us now sing hymn number 373, which is sort of, in effect, a hymn of dedication. 371. Forgotten something. Might help to have the book. Oops. So let's just pray. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you have called us into life and to love you. You have called us to proclaim your love and power in all the world. Lord, send us out in the power of your Spirit, that we may tell of you and your abiding presence. We ask your blessing upon your church, that we may show signs of being one in you as we reach out to all peoples. We pray for all who are reaching out to others in your name and in love. Bless and guide all who preach the word and all who share in your healing ministry. We remember those who work to relieve the distress and sorrow of people and nations. As Lord Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. We pray for all peacemakers today in this world of conflict, especially in the Middle East. We pray for all who are called to govern and all who influence the minds of others. For leaders of industry and great multinational companies and all they work with. Help us to show our care for the earth and our respect for the individual in all that we do. We remember those whose lives are blighted by the greed or insensitivity of others. We pray for those who desperately feel the need to leave their own countries, become immigrants facing further dangers, fleeing slaughter or oppression. We give you thanks because you show us your love through those who love us. And we ask your blessing upon our homes and loved ones. And we pray for homes where there is stress and distress, and all who are finding it difficult to cope, and those who are deeply in debt. And we pray for all those working to help those in need. We pray for people in hospital and those with ongoing health problems. And in a minute or two's silence, if we wish, we bring to you people known to us personally in need of your healing and comfort. Lord, may they know that you are with and understand them. We rejoice in the fellowship of all your saints, in all who have heard your call and done your will. And we ask your blessing upon our loved ones who are departed from us. May we all share in the joy of your love and your kingdom. And may your kingdom come. Merciful Father, we offer these prayers in the name of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now let's just take our offering. Take my silver and my gold, not a mite would I withhold. Lord, we bring our money in your service today and commend ourselves to your service. Amen. Thank you. Our final hymn, number 663, 663. worship has not ended. It has only just begun. For God is with us every moment of every day. Go then and offer the worship he desires. To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with him every step along our way. May the blessing of God the Creator, Jesus his Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.